Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called Habits of Happiness. In this series, Pastor Rick dives into the book of Philippians and shows you how to develop the daily habits that will make you a happy person. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a brand new resource called the Habits of Happiness Guided Experience Book. This Bible study tool will help you develop the biblical skills you need to be happy no matter what circumstances you face. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or just text the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Humble Path to Happiness.
Paul says, if you're going to have happiness, you got to have harmony. And if you're going to have harmony, you got to have humility. And so never let pride be your guide. Now, the second habit is the flip side of it. It's just another way of saying the same thing, but it's this. Write it down. Be humble or I'll stumble. I must be humble or I'll stumble. If I'm not humble, my relationship will crumble. Humility is the basis and foundation of every great marriage and every great friendship. Because in humility, you don't act like you know it all, and you treat each other with respect, and you give each other more honor, and you don't go 50-50. Marriage is not a 50-50. It's 110-110. You give 110 and your spouse gives 110. And you try to outdo each other in honor. Philippians 2, verse 3, the next verse says this. It says, instead of, don't do anything from selfish ambition or vain conceit. It says, instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Now, again, that's the opposite of what our culture teaches. Our culture teaches, I got to do what's best for me. I got to look out for number one. I got to think about me. I've got to live for myself. I've got to do what makes me happy. If it feels good, do it. And all these selfish, self-centered, narcissistic rules that we've been taught throughout life. And Paul comes along and says, no, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Now, circle the word humble, because humility is probably the most misunderstood quality that we need in life. A lot of people think humility means going around saying, oh, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm a zero, I'm a cipher, I'm a zip, I can't do anything. No, that's not humility, that's false humility. That's just degrading yourself. No, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. You hear the difference? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, I'm no good, I'm not. That's not humility. That's false humility. Humility is you just don't think about yourself. You think about other people. The more you think about other people, the more humble you are. If you walk into this room and you think, what does everybody else think about me? How do I look? You're being prideful. If you walk into this room and you think, how could I help the people in this room? You're being humble. The focus isn't on you. The focus is on the other people. Humility has nothing to do with what you think of yourself. Humility says what you think about other people. In other words, humility is not putting myself down. Humility is building other people up. Humble people build other people up. Great people make people feel great. Little people belittle people. Now, the Bible says, instead, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. In other words, humility is not devaluing me, it's valuing others more. Let me say another way of saying it. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. We're all a bundle of strengths and weaknesses. You have some great strengths. You do. And you have some great weaknesses. And humility is being honest about both. I'm good at this, and I'm not good at that. I'm strong in this, I'm really weak in this. I have some really great strengths, and I have some enormous weaknesses. Just ask my staff, ask my family, ask me, I'll tell you, because I'm not trying to hide them. And humility is simply being honest about both. The Bible says, be humble and give more honor to others than yourself. Now, why should I be humble? Because God makes more promises in the Bible about humility than anything else except generosity. Let me give you a few things God promises to do if you live a humble life. If you live dependent upon Him, if you think about others instead of thinking about yourself. God says, I will give you my presence. I will give you my power. I will give you my peace. I will make you prosperous. I will make you successful. And I will give you great honor. The very thing everybody wants in life, God says, comes not through pride, not through bragging, not through boasting, not through pretending you're something you're not, not through posing and being a poser. It comes through humility. And God says, I bless the humble person. In fact, in James 4:6, there in your outline, it says this, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, notice the good and the bad, the carrot and the stick. God opposes the proud. Circle opposes. You know what the Bible says? God hates pride. Does God hate anything? Oh, yeah. There are some things God hates. And one of the things God hates is ego, arrogance, pride, conceit, self-centeredness, self-promotion. God hates pride. And he says God opposes that proud. That means anytime I am acting or saying something or thinking in a prideful way, an arrogant, a conceited way, I am on the opposite side of God. I may even have the right cause, but if I'm presenting it in a prideful way, God says, you're wrong. Whoa. You may have all the right politics figured out, but if you're prideful and arrogant about it, guess what? You're wrong. You're on the opposite side of God. God doesn't just say, oh, it's okay, we'll let you get away with a little bit of pride. God says, I hate it and I oppose it. And every time I'm prideful and every time you're prideful, I'm on the opposite side of God. I'm in a battle with God and I'm going to lose that battle because your arms and my arms are too short to box with God. That's the negative side. The positive side, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's grace? Grace is the ability to forgive when I don't feel like forgiving. Grace is the ability to resolve a conflict with my husband or my wife when I don't feel like it. Grace is the ability to compromise. Grace is the ability to get along. Grace is the ability to build a strong relationship when everything wants to tear your marriage, your friendship, whatever, that relationship apart. You need grace. The only way your relationships will last is with God's grace. And the only way you get God's grace is by being humble. So I must never let my pride be my guide, and I must be humble or I will stumble and my relationships will crumble. Man, I'm a poet this weekend. Number three, here's the third habit for overcoming conflict. This one sounds easy, but we don't do it. Learn the lost art of paying attention. If you want to have a happy life, you're going to have happy relationships. And in order to have happy relationships, you got to have humility in the middle of them. And part of that is learning the lost art of paying attention. We pay attention to screens more than we pay attention to people. I mean, you walk into a meeting, and how many people are sitting there looking at their phone texting? They're not paying attention to the people. They're paying attention to the screen. Or, you know, your head's always down in a video game. You know, looking in the video game. Or you're walking across a campus or taking a lunch break, and you got earbuds and you're listening to your iPod. There's no way you can pay attention to the people around you. Somebody could be dying and in deep pain, and you're in your own little self-centered world. I've closed out everybody else, and I'm in this. I was in New York City a few weeks back, and I walked down. I swear, everybody on the street was listening to something else. And I'm going, so I could stand here and yell, you know, fire, and nobody would even know it. Because our technology has made us to no longer pay attention to people. In other words, you're sitting here with two friends and you're tweeting to 25. And then you're really worried about, is anybody retweeting it? Or is anybody liking my post? And what's that saying? It's all about me. Social media can feed your narcissism, can feed your pride if you let it. And you get distracted from seeing the people around you. I hesitate in sharing this, but I'm going to anyway. This morning, I went to pick up my mother-in-law, Kay's mom, sweet, sweet mom. She's in her 80s. She's at an assisted living place. And when I pulled up, I got out of my car, and she walked out, and I helped get her in. And as I got back around to the other side to get in the car, an aide was pushing an elderly woman down in front of the car in a wheelchair. Well, I just paused, and it's not rocket science. I just walked over to her and said, "How are you today?" And patted her and, on thing, and I said, "You look really great." She said, "Ma'am, can I say you look babelicious?" Now, as a 90-year-old, she probably had no idea what I was saying. Didn't even know what the word meant, but she kind of figured out it was a compliment. And she smiled, and it was nothing. I mean, it was no big heroic act. It was just a kind thing. I just, instead of getting in the car, walked over and said that. I got in the car, and my mother-in-law said, "Thank you, Rick." I said, "What, Mom?" She goes, "Most people are too wrapped up in themselves to notice us." I thought, that took me a whole 8 seconds. There was nothing to it. It was just being nice to the people around me. It was no skin off my back. It took nothing, but it might have brightened that lady's day. Maybe her kids don't live in the nation in America, or don't live in the state, or maybe they don't pay attention to her. How many people do you walk by every day and you have lost the art of paying attention? Because it's all about you. And it's all about your agenda. And I got to get to my next meeting. And if, as a good Samaritan, somebody who's lying on the side of the road, you might not even see him. If you're going to be humble, you got to learn the lost art of paying attention. Here's what the Bible says. It's the next verse, verse 4. "Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested in what others care about too." In other words, don't just be interested in your agenda, your career, your favorite hobbies. Be interested in what other people are interested in. Be interested in their needs. Let me say, dads particularly, this is a simple but powerful tool in helping raise your kids. You just gotta be interested, not in what you want them to be interested in, but have them be interested in what they are interested in. There's a word for that. It's love. There's another word for it, humility. And the Bible says those are the kind of things that build relationship. Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested. Are you interested in what your wife says? Are you interested in what your kids say? Are you interested in what your husband says? See, again, this is not natural, because by nature, I couldn't care less what you think. By nature, I really don't care what you're interested in. I'm only interested in what I'm interested in. And if you're not interested in what I'm interested in, why should I even pay attention to you? Let me give you an example. If I were to stand up here right now and take a picture of the thousands of people sitting right here right now, and then I gave each of you a copy of the picture, who is the first person you'd look for? Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. You'd go straight to, "Where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Where am I?" And you'd either go, "Wow, my hair looks good today," or, "I look fat in that color," or, you have all these comments. And if you thought you looked good, it's a great picture. All right. And if you don't look good, that picture sucks. It's just terrible. It's no good. Well, that is the human nature. You think about you more than anything else. God says, you want to really be happy? You got to change your frame of reference. Because harmony doesn't come from you thinking about you all the time. It comes from you being interested in what other people are interested in and caring about what they care about and being concerned with what they're concerned about. So let me ask a very blatant, frank question. Are you interested in only what concerns you? Do you get bored when you talk to friends and they talk about things they are interested in and you couldn't care less about? Wah, 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 wah. And something in your mind goes, "Get me out of this place." You find your attention drifting. You need to learn the lost art of paying attention.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
If you are enjoying learning about the habits of happiness and want to go deeper into this study with Pastor Rick, I have some great news for you. Pastor Rick's brand new Habits of Happiness guided experience book is available to you right now. In this guided experience, you will learn the biblical habits of happiness and begin seeing things from God's perspective. This interactive, full-color, hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, and application exercises. It's a comprehensive study tool that will help you grow spiritually. The Habits of Happiness guided experience is available only through Daily Hope, and quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Call 800-600-5004, that's 800-600-5004, to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or visit PastorRick.com, that's PastorRick.com, with two R's in the middle. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world.
Once again, here's Rick.
Do you get bored when you talk to friends and they talk about things they are interested in and you couldn't care less about? Wah, 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 wah. And something in your mind goes, get me out of this place. You find your attention drifting. You need to learn the lost art of paying attention. That's an act of love. The greatest gift you can give somebody is your attention, because your attention is your time, and your time is your life. You're never going to get it back. If I give you money, I can always get more money. But if I give you my attention, I'm never getting that back. When I look you in the eye, it's saying to you, you matter to me. What you're saying to me is important. Now, you can listen without paying attention. In fact, you can get real good at it. As a parent, as a partner, as a friend, you know, you're listening, and you can even go, and you're thinking about a million other things. And you go, yeah, oh yeah, and they're telling you all about your day, and you're already thinking about something else. That's not paying attention. That's listening, but it's not paying attention. Learn the lost art of paying attention. Don't be interested in just your own life, but others, what others care about too. Then number four, the fourth thing you need to do is you ask, what would Jesus do? Now, I know this sounds like a trite question, but it's really true. And it comes from this verse, Philippians 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And so, if I really care about relationships, if I want to lower the conflict, then I want to raise the harmony in my life so we can have more happiness in our lives, I gotta never let my pride be my guide. I've gotta always be humble or I'll stumble. I've gotta learn the lost art of paying attention. And then the fourth thing, I have to ask myself, in this situation, in this conflict, what would Jesus do? In this problem, what would Jesus do? In this time when somebody's feeling guilty, what would Jesus do? In this time where somebody's worried, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do at the office in this situation? What would Jesus do out on the golf course? What would Jesus do as I'm driving down the freeway and somebody just tried to run me off the road? What would Jesus do? You ask that over and over again, and you'll always come up with a humble answer. You always come up with the one that builds harmony and happiness rather than difficulty, defeat, bitterness, and resentment. Now, you say, well, I don't know what it means to act like Jesus. How would Jesus act at my school? How would Jesus act in my marriage? How would Jesus treat my wife? How would Jesus treat my husband? Well, fortunately, we have three examples in the next couple verses as we end this passage. Acting like Jesus means three things. You ought to write these down. Number one, it means I don't demand what I think I deserve. That's acting like Jesus. I never demand what I think I deserve. Now, we go through life thinking we deserve a whole lot. And when we don't get it, we get demanding. But Jesus didn't do that. Philippians 2, 6, and 7 says this. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He emptying himself of all he had.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time together, so please stay with us. If you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. If you're enjoying learning about the habits of happiness and want to go deeper in this study with Pastor Rick, I have some great news for you. Pastor Rick's brand new Habits of Happiness Guided Experience book is available to you right now. In this guided experience, you will learn the biblical habits of happiness and begin seeing things from God's perspective. This interactive, full-color hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, practical lessons, and application exercises. It's a comprehensive study tool that will help you grow spiritually. The Habits of Happiness Guided Experience is available only through Daily Hope, and quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Call 800-600-5004. That's 1-800-600-5004 today. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you a letter that I recently received from Denise, whose son was paralyzed in an accident. But she has seen God work in amazing ways in both her life and her son's life since that accident. She wrote this, "Dear Pastor Rick, I've been listening to Daily Hope for months now, and I finally decided to write you and let you know what these messages have done for me. My son was nearly killed in a car accident 2 years ago. Our son almost died twice, once at the scene of the accident and once on the operating table, but he did survive. But we were hit with the news that he was paralyzed from the chest down. And the doctor wasn't even sure if he could move his arms as he was in a coma. The next 19 days were spent in ICU. He was then flown to a rehab facility where he spent 3.5 months. And I became severely depressed. And I was so angry with God that I just couldn't see through my grief. But I began listening to your program, Daily Hope, through your website. And about 6 months later, this changed my life. I'm now beginning to see all the good things coming from my son's accident and injury. God did protect his brain. He's as smart, he's as funny, he's as witty as ever. His body's broken, but his mind is not. And my son had turned away from God when he was 16, but he's slowly making his way back to the Lord. While I'm not grateful for the accident, and I'm not grateful for my son's paralysis, I am grateful for the turn that my son is making back to God because of all what's happened. So have a blessed day. I'm now able to look for and I'm able to find God's blessing even in my pain each day. Denise." Well, Denise, you have learned a lesson that many people never learn, that God's purpose for your life is greater than the pain that you go through. And God's plan for your life is greater than the problems that you go through. In fact, it includes those problems. You know, as a father, I know how hard it is to see your children hurting, but I'm glad to hear how God is at work, not just in your life, but in your son's life too. We're going to be praying for you here at Daily Hope. And for those of you who support Daily Hope, it's your gifts that make these kind of miracles possible. So thank you, everybody. You know, if this broadcast has helped you at any time grow in the Lord, would you let me know about it? Would you write to me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story? I love reading these stories, and they really encourage me, and they encourage other people when I get to read them on the air, like this one.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.